Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Philippians chapter 3, and hope to help you tonight. I'm not going to quench the Spirit of God. Me and the pastor was just talking. I like to joke around and play, but it seemed like the Lord stilled it. And I don't want to quench it. I will say this quickly. Thank you again for letting us be here. Thank you for all that you've done for me, for the basket last night and the goodies. My boy tried to steal them, and I ain't letting him. But other than that, I do appreciate all of that. But let me say this, because again, I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. I was real nervous about what I'm about to preach because I just couldn't get confirmed on it if it's exactly where I want to be. And I'll be honest with you, it seemed even all this week that I like the Lord. Listen, I'm not real smart, and the Lord needs to hit me in the head with a 2x4. That's how I like Him to talk to me. Every now and then, He's a still, small voice. And He's just as much God in that voice as He is anything else. And I want to listen to Him and be obedient to Him, and I want to help you. And I thought all week on what to preach, what to do, and I hope I hadn't missed it. But, man, I was thinking tonight as them girls was singing about every prayer that He answered. You know something? He's answered prayer for me. I didn't even know He heard. We all right? I mean, I didn't even think I was worthy to even Him hear a prayer. And He heard it and answered it. And I learned something about Him in the midst of all that. I'm going to tell you something. It's in them hard times of life, you'll learn a lot about the Lord. He'll reveal Himself to you in new ways, fresh ways. I'm going to cover this tonight, Lord willing. But, you know, Paul, he said he was going to tarry at Ephesus for a little while. And he said, because there was a great door of affection opened unto him. And notice this, many adversaries. The adversaries was opportunity. And can I say tonight, hard times are opportunity to grow and know more about Him and walk close with the Lord. And I hope you pray for me tonight. I really do want to help you. And I really hope tonight, I really believe this Lord wants me to be. Chapter 3, if you'll look in verse 10, I'm going to be a little bit different tonight. But if you'll stand to your feet for the reverence of reading God's Word, and we're going to start in verse 10. The Bible says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And don't you notice that word? Follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and God, honestly, I'm as scared tonight as I believe I've ever been. And Lord, I believe the Spirit of God, Lord, has stilled it. And I believe, Lord, there's somebody here that needs to hear what's about to be said. God, if I do this in the power of the flesh, God, we might as well close our Bibles and go home. It's been good to be here, but there'll be nothing done, Lord, out of the power of my flesh that's going to be worth anything whatsoever. But Holy Ghost, if you'll get in it, and Lord, if you'll start working in the hearts, and even while I'll preach one message, if you'll get into every heart and preach the message they need and help them, Lord Father, I believe we can go away different than we came. We can be closer, and we can get some help. We can glorify you. So God, help us tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you'd hide me by the cross. I pray, Lord, you'd bind every demon, devil, or hell, every distraction, and the Spirit of God have rolling rain today. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I know it's funny, I read text in chapter 3, but I want to go to chapter 4. Paul, again, I guess I preached on Paul about every night, I reckon. But Paul, man, here he is. He, again, one of the heroes of the faith. And when we get into chapter 4, we get into verses like this. Like look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I don't mean to make a joke tonight, but I do want to drive home a point. Man, I see that verse posted everywhere you go. You can't pick up a devotional and that verse is not in it. Tim Tebow would put it on his eyes when he was playing ball, and everybody does that. It's wonderful. But can I tell you something tonight? The Lord, I don't know that He's necessarily worried about ball games and and you doing everything in the power of the flesh. That's not in the context of that verse. What we need to do is take the Bible in the fullness of the context of the Bible, and there's a lot more help in it if we'll take it that way. Matter of fact, if you'll go on down there in chapter number 4, look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's another verse. Man, everybody quotes it, but can I say something to you? You study that out. If you're not participating in missions and helping the missions, that's not a promise for you to claim. And you say, preacher, why would you bring that up? Are you just trying to be mean? No, because I want you to be able to claim that promise. I want you to be able to say, God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory, right? But then get involved in missions. And I bring that up for this reason, because the context of Scripture makes a difference. And listen, we can't have chapter 4 without chapter 3. And Paul, notice some things that he says. Let's go back into verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now listen, he had to get taught something. He learned something. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed. Once again, he is taught something. Both to be full and to be hungry, and to both to abound and to suffer. To suffer need. Now watch this. Here's the context of verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Here's what he's saying. When things is real good, when I'm with Jesus, I'm okay. When things is real low and I'm with Jesus, I'm okay. The consistent here is not the situation, it's the person. And I'm probably going to preach real different tonight, but I really do want to help you. I think about Paul. He's writing this letter, man. He's in prison. At any moment, they can come and take his life from him. He's probably chained to two Roman guards. And, man, yet, he is at peace with his situation. See, his peace and his contentment in life, it is not based upon the situation, whether he is on the mountaintop or on the valley. It's based on who he's walking with. And tonight, listen, the Bible says a double-minded man's unsteady in all his ways. And if we're going to go on for God and we're going to be a help and we're going to do something, listen to me, we can't be unsteady in all of our ways. Therefore, we must have a solidified mind, a singleness of mind to follow after, to chase after that thing which brings peace into our soul. And peace in our life. Brother Milton Taylor, if he was here, he'd preach at facts and feelings, would he not? And here's the truth about that. Here's the thing. Our feelings do this. But honey, the facts do this. They never move. They never change. At least they've tried to change them, and they ain't changing. The facts of the Word of God stay there. So I want you to notice, go back with me. If we want to have the peace of God, that victorious Christian life, if we want to be content no matter what the life throws at us, because I've already preached to you this week, we're not supposed to have it easy. Somebody say amen. But if we're going to be okay with that type of life, there's some things we're going to have to do. I said this Monday night, and I probably called really in my mind, I was going to preach this last night, but it just wasn't the will of God. But I want you to know, I mean, there's some things. Salvation's free. Peace and life abundant and victory and living in the Canaan land, that's going to cost you something. That's something that's got to be striven for. It's got to be sought after. It's not just I got saved and it's all rainbows and roses and rose-colored glasses and all that. Look up here, friend. There's a fight taking place, and it's not always going to go good. Now, can I be honest with you tonight? Now, don't look down on me, but I've been in a few fist fights in my day. Some of them legal, some of them probably not as legal. Can I tell you something about the root word in that? Fight. I'm a pretty big old boy. I'm going to be honest with you, I can handle myself fairly well. But every now and then, one of them little old meth heads can get a lick in them ribs. And I don't like it. And every now and then in life, you know what happens? Sometimes you just get caught with a gut punch. But if we're going to go back If we're going to keep getting back and doing what God called us to do, just because we got hit in the gut, listen, the arrest still's got to be made. The man's still got to be placed in custody. You can't just get hit and go, oh, time out, Hawksbury, give me a breather. You got to have a steadfast mind to go back. And Paul, I honestly believe that in Paul in chapter 3, he really lays out how to do that. If you want peace in your life, I really believe the Word of God to show you right here how to have it. Look here, look at verse 12, would you? Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That is a unique word. That means to follow after. Listen to what this means. To run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing to run after. I want to preach tonight on this thought right here. Pursuing peace. Pursuing peace. Paul said there's some things that I'm following after. And listen, we all just rednecks in here. Can we be like here? I can walk a long ways. I can walk at a brisk pace a little less. I can jog not too far, but I definitely ain't sprinting real far. But Paul said there's some things he's sprinting after. That's max effort. That means he is pressing forward. He's not stopping. He has got in his mind that come heck or high water, he's running that way. Nothing's going to stop him. He's the Mike All-Star. Y'all don't even know who the young boys know how it is. That's back when football was really football. But, I mean, he's the man that just runs through everybody to get his position. He's staying the course. And tonight, listen, if we're going to have the peace of God, you're going to have to follow Jesus that way. It's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you, Brother Jane, I wish I could tell you I've always done that. I've not. I want to. I failed it. But I'm going to tell you something. Life's about getting up. Life's about just getting up and following after. Notice what only goes on to say right here. I follow after that which I may apprehend. That means to lay a hold of. To cut to the chase, and I'm going to get in the message, but here's what he's wanting. He's wanting to get a hold of Jesus Christ. Look at this verse. Look at verse 13. Look at, what was that? Verse 12. Oh, that's a lie. What was that? No, verse 12. I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of. He said, Jesus has got me, but I need him. Have you thought about that? He's got you, but you need him. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Here's how you're going to get this peace, that I may know him. Can I say this tonight? Listen, if you're going to have the peace of God, the contentment of God in your life, you're going to have to pursue after him personally. Look what he says, I may know him. Now listen to me. Paul at this point in time has been saved somewhere around 28, 29, 30 years. He ain't getting saved again. I witnessed people, Brother Jonathan, and I'll go out on the road and working, and in my days of doing dope stuff, I would talk to them about getting saved, and they'd all say this, well, I've been saved, I'm not going to get saved again. No. Once you're saved, you're saved. Listen, did you not hear what he just said? Paul said that I need to apprehend what has apprehended me. He ain't let go of you, hoss. Salvation ain't about what you've done, it's about what he done. It ain't about what you said, it's about what he did. It ain't about any work you did, it's about what he done. When you put faith in him, he gets a hold of you. And Paul, being saved for 30 years, still makes this comment, I want to know him. But before I get any further, let me say this. You'll never have the peace of God until you have the peace with God. You hear me? Until you're saved. If you're lost tonight, everything I say after this is not applicable to you at all if you first don't get saved by the good grace of God. You've heard enough gospel tonight in the singing to get born again and saved and to know him. But until you get saved, nothing else matters. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's because you was his enemy. He's reconciled you unto himself through his Son, and now you've been made you a son of God. There's no more enmity there between God and you know him. There's peace between you, and then you can have the peace of God. The peace with God is free through salvation. The peace of God must be pursued after. Now listen. Tonight, Paul said this, that I may know him. I find it odd that Paul says that. Now listen to me. Maybe y'all picked up on it. I kind of think highly of Paul. But if Paul ought to know him more, I believe Rhino probably does too. If Paul had this desire, I got to know more of him, I need to. See, that word know here, it is to know by experience. From my study, what it's saying, in the Greek side of it, I don't know a whole lot of Greek, but a little bit I've studied on it said this, that it is experimental knowledge with the most intimacy, the most knowledge, and it's the lived experience. Can I say, here's what Paul's saying. As I live daily, I want to experience my Savior and know more of him. Can I say something to you? You can know him. I may have said this last week. I know I said it Southside, so y'all bear with me. I may be getting too comfortable, but I read on Facebook one guy, they put these big posts, everybody's posting it over and over and over again, and they said, I couldn't prove that the Bible was real. I knew it was right, but I couldn't prove. Look, stop. If you'll have a devotion with him, and you'll talk with him, and you'll read your Bible, and you'll pray to him, he'll answer prayer for you, and you'll not have to worry about proving if he's real. When the God of all glory is in your soul, you're going to know it. Are we okay? Now, I'm not for emotionalism, and I'm not for all that, but I do think a man ought to get emotional every now and then when God's in there. I mean, it ain't going to hurt you to shed a tear once in a while, shout once in a while. I mean, God saved you, amen? But we need to know more about him. And I think about the things that Paul wrote. He said, I'm persuaded in whom I have believed. He's able to keep that against that day, right? I mean, he thinks, I'm persuaded. In other words, Paul lived a life in which God persuaded him that everything was fine because of the relationship that Paul and the Lord had. Then I go on to think about Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to see the but above all, we can ask for thing. Watch this. According to the power that worketh what? In us. Paul knew that he would give him power to do things. Listen to me. Paul knew the Lord in an intimate, personal relationship of an everyday life. And can I say something? It seems to me the more he got is the more he wanted of him. Let me help you this morning, this evening, church. If you want peace and contentment in your life and you're not constantly wanting to do this, it starts pursuing after him. That's where it starts. You're not going to find it on TikTok, and you're not going to find it on Facebook. You're not going to, can I be real honest with you tonight? I hope I don't offend you. It ain't choir singing that's going to help you. It's the ultimate chasing after the Prince of Peace. A personal relationship, listen, the personal relationship makes the singing better. It makes the preaching better. It makes the Christian life better. And I know a lot of Christians tonight, I believe they're saved, me and you saved. But they've never got no peace and joy. And they're always doing this because they never do this. And they never chase after him. And they never look to go hunt him down. I mean, I want to ask you something. How much have you prayed today? Can we be honest tonight? I got up this morning, prayed for breakfast. God, thank you for my breakfast. Went to lunch. You ate lunch. Prayed for your lunch. Lord, thank you for my lunch. Prayed for supper. You're going to do that too. What have you prayed? 3 minutes all day. Is that pursuing? Is that max effort? I'm not trying to be mean to you, and I really want to help you because I'm going to be honest with you. Lord beat me to death, Brother Bass, on this one. We don't pray and seek his face like we ought to. But boy, we sure want him there when the wheels come off, don't we? Can I say something to you tonight? If you'd get a hold of him and stay with him when the wheels come off, you probably wouldn't even notice as much. I think about Paul again. I hit on tonight, old Euryclodon, everything coming to pieces. No hope, they said. And Paul back there fasting, praying. You know what he did? He said, hey, no, he's fasting because the Bible says after a long abstinence. He's fasting. And he's after fasting, you know what he's doing? He's seeking and pursuing after the God that has attained him. He's wanting to obtain him. He has apprehended Paul, and Paul wants to apprehend him. And after doing that, it's what he does. He steps out, and the first things he says is, this is Ryan Hayes' version, ready? Boys, be of good cheer. It's all right. Paul, in the midst of all things going wrong, he's steady because his foundation's steady. You're going to have to pursue him. Listen to me tonight. You're going to have to pursue him personally. And I say this, if you're going to pursue him and know him, you're going to have to know him powerfully. Look at verse 10 again. That I may know him, and notice this, and the power of his resurrection. Now, can you think of anything more powerful than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can't, pull me to the side tonight and tell me, I won't know. Now, I'm talking about a God who become obedient unto death. Now, pause that a moment. What the Bible says in Hebrews. Become obedient, Philippians. He becomes obedient unto death. Brother Jonathan, I can't do that. If I go out here tonight and I walk out in the middle of this road and a big old 18-wheeler comes by and squishes me like a bug, I'm dying. I ain't got no choice in the matter. I'm just dead. But now, the Bible said he became obedient unto death. In other words, he had to will himself dead. Death ain't got no hold on him. Acts 2 said it was impossible he should be beholden of it. So just right on time, he died. At the very perfect time in all of history, he died. And 3 days later, at the very perfect time, he decided he's getting back up. And he got up. Now, I want you to think about what Paul's saying. Paul ain't asking to die and be resurrected. I believe he did be die and get resurrected. I ain't going to lie to you. I believe that, brother. If I'm wrong, set me down and teach me later. But I think he did. Here's what he's saying. I need some real spiritual power. I need help doing some things. You've called me to a task, and I'm chasing after you, Lord, because I need you, and I need your power in me if I'm going to do what you've called me to do, if I'm not going to go crazy. I ain't going to lie to you. Y'all pray for me, but there's times I feel like a spiritual schizophrenic. That's the truth. I feel like I'll preach with the power of God on a Sunday morning, walk out of the pulpit, Brother Bass, get on the carpet, and I feel like I'm the biggest loser and want to walk right out there in the road, jump in front of that big old truck. I'm serious. There's times, Brother Jonathan, I know you've been there. There's times, we've talked about it. There's times, man, I've preached and these folks got saved. They folks got help. And man, I felt like I was on the world. I've walked out, got in the car, and it just come over me so bad. I just leaned over on my wife and started bawling, crying because I felt like such a failure. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to serve God, it's going to take some power. It's going to be something bigger than you that's going to have to get involved in this thing. If you're going to have peace in the service of God, listen, it's going to take him, friend. I think about here, he said again, Ephesians 3:20, according to the power worketh in us. Now, I wonder how Paul knew that. You know how Paul knew that he would put the power of God in him? Because he experienced him, he knew him, he walked with him, he answered his prayer. Friend, listen, if you'll know God, you'll know some things he can do in your life. I want you to understand something this evening, and I'm going to move on quickly because it's getting late and we've got to go and I'm hungry. I want you to listen. Megan didn't even feed me, brother. Pray for her. Paul had experienced God using him to do something bigger than Paul. Therefore, he said he can do exceedingly and abundantly than above all that we can ask or think. That's the Holy Ghost allowing Paul to write of an experience of a knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said if you'll let God, if you'll chase him, if you'll go for him, You think you can just maybe get your family saved, but God's able not just save that one lost, but the entire family and the entire community and the entire state, by the power that worketh in you through him, friend. He knows it. This morning, listen to me. If we're going to be the best preachers we can be, it ain't because of who I am. If y'all knew me and really knew me, probably I can't believe my wife's even stayed with me, but if you knew me the way she knew me, you wouldn't even come. I'm serious. You'd boycott me even being here. I'm useless. Can I say something to you tonight? If you've got any help, if you ever get any help from any preaching, it ain't me and it ain't the preachers. It's the power of God that He's putting in you. Listen, it's because that man of God has went and found himself in a prayer closet somewhere and he got a hold of the Word of God that God said would promise and not return void. And he took that and by faith he delivers it to you through the power of God that it might help you, friend. But now you say, what's that got to do with me? Well, you got a wife or husband and children and workplace people. You need to know the power of God. Can I say something? It was a good day in my life and in my ministry when I had prayers that God answered of mine. You say, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. I love Brother Allen. Y'all know that. He's one of my heroes. I've heard Brother Allen tell stories about things God done for him. Him's good. I've heard you, Pastor. My pastor tells stories, things that God's done for him. That's good. I've read books about Mays Jackson and Harold Seitler and Percy Ray. Boy, all the things that God done for them. Don't you listen to me. That don't do anything for me in my midnight hour. I need my own. I need God to move with. I need the power of God so I can move in my life. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, I'm gonna blow it out there. I know it on the internet, but it's all right. Listen, when my little preacher friend who's supposed to be right with God find out he's molesting his wife's little sister, by okay, and it throws the church in turmoil and breaks everything up. Look up in here. I didn't need Brother Jonathan's prayers. I didn't need his blessings. I couldn't hold on to what he was doing. I needed God to do something in my life, in my heart, and work for me, friend. I had to experience him differently. I had to know him differently. There was something going on. It was bigger than me. I didn't know what to do about it. I'd call him. I'd talk to him. But I needed God to settle some things for me in my heart and in my life and for my church because I needed the power of God then. I needed to know him in such a way that he could keep people around. He could build a church. He could do those things, friend. I had to know him and experience him in a different way than I've ever did, friend. That resurrection power will help your unbelief. Can I help you tonight? Listen to me. I'm really trying to help you. I think about John the Baptist. He had doubts. What'd he do? He ran to Jesus. Jesus gave him scripture. Then I got Thomas. Thomas says, I don't believe he's alive, Brother Floyd. I don't believe he's alive. Old doubting Thomas. Yet the next time he sees him, he sees the resurrected Jesus. And he says, thrust your hand in there. Thomas says, no, Lord, I believe. I'm going to tell you something. That resurrection power will build faith in your life if you'll learn to know him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to listen to me. He did not raise from the dead just so you can be saved. And he did do that. Somebody, amen. But he came to give you an abundant life that you may know him. Let me say this. I'm going to move on quickly. If you're going to know him and you're going to have peace in your life. Listen, friend, you're going to have to know him personally. You have to know him powerfully, but listen to this, and here's the hard parts. Look at verse 10 again. I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now watch this. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Better know him painfully. I want you to listen to me tonight. Paul's ministry was birthed knowing he was going to go through some things. I told you last night, listen to me in Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, king and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was going to have to know the Lord. If he was going to have the peace in Philippians 4, he had to know him in his suffering. Can I say something to you tonight? I wish I had this figured out. I really do. And I wish I could tell you, man, Miss Leslie, I've never dropped the ball right here, but that'd be a lie. I don't want to get struck down right here. When bad times happen, can I tell you something? That's an opportunity to know him. When all that mess at the church happened and my little preacher went crazy and wild and gone, and I thought the church was breaking up, you know what it done to me, Brother Jonathan? It drove me to my knees. It broke my heart. It broke my soul. It put me in a place when I was praying and didn't even know what to pray. I mean, I'm talking, I couldn't even get nothing out. I just said, oh God, and cry. Oh God, and cry. And oh God, and cry. I mean, it got so bad. That's all I could think about. That's all I could do. I'm telling you, it just drove me to my knees, but it also let me know Him in a way I've never knew Him. I've never knew Him the way I know Him now. And can I say this? I wouldn't ask nobody to go through that. I won't go through it again. It's been a blessing to my church. You say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. Well, I know. I wish you wouldn't have done it, and I wish you'd get right. I'm worried that he's lost. But there's more sitting over there tonight than was even there when they voted me in on. And we've saw people get saved after that. We saw families coming after that. We've grown expertise after that. You know why? Because I've learned more about Him. Do you got to suffer a little bit? Oh, yeah, but it's worth it. I thank a man, friend, suffering the opportunity in it. I think about that 23rd Psalm, and I preached this here, I think, but it's been a long time ago, so if you've heard it, just act like you ain't never heard it before. But that 23rd Psalm opens up, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Now, think of the tense that he's speaking. It's almost like a sheep is telling another sheep about his shepherd. The Lord, let me be like this. I'm going to pick on you, brother, because I can. "The Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want." The Lord, him, that guy right yonder, that's my shepherd. I shall not want. It's almost like he's talking to this other sheep, explaining to him who he is. I mean, look at verse number 2, would you? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters." He's like, that guy, he's the one doing it. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for my name's sake." Again there, brother. He's like, it's Him that's doing all this for me. But when verse 4 happens, it changes. The whole tense of the psalm changes. Verse 4 says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil." Now watch this. "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Watch what he is. It's almost like this little sheep's done this. He's quit talking to this little sheep, and he's turned in the midst of the midnight hour when it's in the valley of the shadow of death, when he's at the low, low. He gets his eyes off of that sheep, and he gets his eyes on the shepherd. And he sees him differently than he's ever seen him in them other three verses. He looks at him differently than he's ever looked at him in the other three verses. He's telling somebody else about him. He's experiencing that shepherd differently than he's ever experienced him before. He says, "Now I know that thou art with me." You know what that means for that sheep? That sheep don't know what he's doing. That sheep don't know what to do. But there's a shepherd that's already been through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a shepherd that's already walked the way. There's a shepherd that's already prepared a table in the presence of thine enemies, friend. He's already there. And he said, "I don't know what to do. And it's a bad, but I know you differently. And your rod is there. And your staff is there. Oh, but thank God, most of all, you're there. And I want to keep my eyes on you." Can I say something to you tonight? Thank God. Hey, in the middle of the small, in the dark, dark days, you can see him a different way. Oh, he'll show himself. Hey, a mighty God, a mighty to save. Oh, to lift you up at that miry clay. Oh, set you through the side. Rock. He'll establish your God. It's in the middle of suffering. Hey, that you'll know him, friend. I'm telling you, you'll know him more in the middle of that suffering. Can I say something to you tonight? If we're going to have the power of God and peace in our life, suffering's going to have to do this to us. We're going to have to know him. We're going to need his power. But we're going to have to need that pain. If pain gets you doing this, better get your eyes back on him. Can I give you this right here and I'm done? End of verse 10. Look at the end of verse 10. Y'all know the fellowship of sufferings? Let me pause right there. Notice what that verse does say. The fellowship. You're not in this thing by yourself. Now look up. I want everybody to look up here and look at me real good. And I don't know what you're going through and what you don't. You look at me real good. You're not alone in the valley. I can't quote it quite right, but Job said, "I looked left, I looked right, where I can't find the Lord, but he said, but the Lord knoweth the way I take you, but I come and come forth as pure gold. You may not see him, you may not recognize him, but just by faith, grab that book right there and look up there at him and say, I know you're there. How do I know that? Because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And if what you'll do, if you'll do it by faith, those that come to him, listen, by faith, the possible to please him, and to come to him must believe that he is, and reward of those that diligently seek him. And I say something to you tonight, it's Hebrews 11:6. If you're going to diligently seek him, chase after him, you'll learn some things about him. And he'll be right there for you. There have been prayers I've prayed. I've told you before, I thought, there ain't no way that's getting answered. And son, he showed up right on time. You better know him, listen, you better know him painful. Let me give you this last one. He says, being made conformable unto his death. You better know him practically. Practically. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't believe Paul is asking to die for the sins of the world. And what good is that going to do? Paul knows that. I mean, Paul, I told you the other day, over in Acts 13, man, or in at first of 14, they started worshiping Paul, and Paul cut that mess out. Done the same thing in Acts 16. Can I say something to you? Paul knows he ain't dying for the sins of the world. But Paul wanted to know him. That word conformable, it means to be alike, to be conformed, to receive in the same form. Here's what he wanted: obedience. The Lord was obedient to God the Father all the way to Calvary. And this is what Paul wants: the power to be obedient. You say, preacher, listen to me. My life is this. Well, you better know him more. You better know him in his power. You better know him in his pain. You better know him practically. You better start being obedient to him, Miss Tanya. You care to play? You better start being obedient and chasing after him. Now, please don't fall out with me, but I read my Bible and he said, come unto me. Right? Now, I didn't see no qualifiers on that. We okay? Well, that's just for lost people. No, it's not. You're lost, you fit it. Those that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you lost, you fit that. Can I tell you something, preacher? There's been times the blessings of God have been more than I could hold up. The things I prayed for, can I just be real honest with you? I prayed God would send some people to church. I prayed we'd grow in number, and there's some time that growth has been about too much. You say, well, you ain't got but 50. Yeah, but I'm weak-minded. Somebody say amen. But can I say amen? You're raising youngins, you're working a job and trying to pastor and preach 3 or 4 times a week and trying to counsel people and everything. Just sometimes the blessing of it. It's everything I prayed for. It's what I desired. I still desire it. But sometimes I get heavy laden. And here's what I found out. I'm getting heavy laden because here's what I've done. I've quit chasing after the one that's got the yoke on him. See, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. That don't even sound right. Y'all are foreign people. Somebody, we're Surrey County, right? Yokes are for burdens. Yokes are to pull. But if I get in his yoke, honey, I wish my little boy is here. Come here, boy. Hurry. He's going to hate me. I'm going to buy him ice cream tonight. It'll be okay for him. Look here. He's about as tall as I am, and that's just because Daddy's short, can't help it. But I'm going to tell you this, he can't pull what I can pull. So if we yoke up together, here's what happens. I do the work, and he's long for the ride. That's why his burden's easy. That's why his yoke's light, because I'm just carrying him around. He ain't doing nothing. Now, he's with the yoke with me, but so listen to me. He had to chase after me first. If you want the peace of God, you're going to have to pursue him. If you want contentment, you're going to have to pursue him. It's not enough. Listen, I believe we've had 3 good meetings this week. I've got help at all 3 of them. But if you go home and you shut your Bible and you close your prayer closet, the peace of God ain't coming. If I go home and shut my Bible and don't pray, if I get up in the morning, it don't matter how early you get up neither. I've got up real early before and got distracted and got nothing done. Then I've got up real early before and set my eyes on him, went out there in the woods where it's just me and him, And honey, it got on. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about them some of the best beatings you ever have. I had a little church trouble I was telling you about. Can I tell you what I was doing one time? Am I okay, Pastor? I ain't going too long. Can I tell you what I was doing one time? All that was going on. I couldn't think right. I was messed up, brother. I mean, I was messed up. I couldn't even talk to my wife. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't pray. I kneeled down to pray, and as I'd start to pray, it's just like my brain couldn't think. I tried to read my Bible, and brother, I ain't going to lie to you. I couldn't even, I'd read a couple things. I'll tell you what I did, and y'all going to throw against me, and I'm not saying you all do this, but Lord, let me do it to help me. I got me a fishing pole, and I went, it will help you. And I went down there to the pond. We got a pond near the house, and I had a old top lure on it. It was a whopper plopper is what it was. Now I throw it out there. Now listen, you're going to make fun of me, but I'm going to listen to me. I throw it out there, and I start talking to God. I just say, God, what am I going to do? God, I don't know what to do, God. And I'd reel that thing in. I wasn't there to catch no fish. Because here's what would happen. About halfway through praying, Brother Jonathan, my mind just go blank. I just throw that whopper plopper back out there again. Then it would hit me. God, the church, it's going to fall to pieces if you don't do something. And I done that. Mama, how long I do that? Weeks. It's all the way I feel like I get to talk to God. And you say you just wanted to go fishing. I promise you it really wasn't it, but I do like to fish. And finally, it's one day. Little Floyd, that bait hit that water. And I was reeling in. And just verses. Just verses start coming into my soul. Talking about how God never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about how God promised me the verse that He gave me to take the church. He gave me back. And I started quoting it back to Him just because it felt real good. I started giving it to Him, talking to Him about that. And He just kept on. And boy, time I got done, I went back home and I was a brand new man. I was completely different. But I had to get to a place where I could experience Him differently. I never had not been able to read my Bible. Had never not been able to. I physically couldn't do it. But friend, that's how we had some hard days. Can I tell you something? Brother Bass, these things now that happen, if He can handle that little bump, that ain't nothing. And see, now my faith has grown. If He can fix that, and He can work through that, and He can save souls through that, what are we worried about a bus ministry? I mean, we need another bus. I ain't going to lie to you. We prayed for a bus, got a bus. We about got that in four. I need another one. And you think God can't make another bus? If He can fix all that, He can bring a bus. We okay? I need some more piano players. I need some more. I need somebody to play guitar. I need all that. You think God can send that to us? You think I'm worried about that? We got a $400,000 debt. You think I'm worried about that? If God can fix all that mess, friend, I've watched what He's done over and over. I've come to church, Pastor, and they would be checks stuck. Brother Danny, in my line, they'd be checks in the back of the window just taped on to people we didn't know to pay bills. You don't think I think God can pay a bill? But it took me to get down in that low place to learn it about Him. I've just got a hook right there. I'm okay. I feel like we're just right there. It takes that low place, brother, that real low place to know Him that He can do something that you don't think He can do. That's when you're going to learn something about the Lord. But here's the trick. If you're not obedient to follow Him into the valley of the shadow of death, you're never going to learn it about Him. If He's leading you down a valley today, I'm going to give you some advice, something I had to learn. And I ain't telling you I got it all figured out, Brother James. Don't ask Him to end it. Praise Him right on through it. There's a will in His life for that valley for you. Ask Him to show you what that is, to exhort you to go on, to learn from it, that you might know more about Him, and let Him work in your life. He'll do that.